Go north or south, go east or west. Just get in your car and you'll head for the best. Wherever you are, you'll find more to do on NBC.
And all across the country, this is Monitor 68. I'm Ted Steele.
She would have stayed till who knows when. But I guess she couldn't understand it when I said I want to be your friend. Because a friend would never doubt you, forever put you aside. And now I wonder what she's doing tonight.
Oh yes, I wonder what she's doing tonight.
What she's doing tonight. Well, if she's one of the ladies going to the Persian Room of the Plaza here in New York, I know what she's doing. She's swooning to the romantic songs of Sergio Franchi. He's the Italian entertainer who for several years has been drawing crowds to nightclubs all across the country, and who also starred on Broadway in the Richard Rodgers musical Do I Hear a Waltz. He was interviewed for Monitor by Joe Hyder.
Sergio, you look forward to movie making with such stars as Anthony Quinn and Anna Magnani. This is your first film, isn't it?
You forgot Vernalisi.
How one forget Vernalisi?
The four of us, yes. I'm co-starring with them. And I'm leaving the 1st of June because I'm going near Rome for about 3.5 months to do this film.
This will be your first time making a movie, will it not?
The first time. I'm very anxious to do it and very nervous when I think of it because I'm going to play opposite great stars and... You know, I'm concerned a little bit about my performing qualities.
Seems to me that you're also going to be handling a Broadway show once again pretty soon.
Yes, if I come back in time from Rome, I'll be starting in Meredith Wilson, 1491, which is a part of the life of Christopher Columbus. And I will play the part of Christopher Columbus.
I think that's very good casting.
Thank you.
I notice that you've lost a great deal of your accent, Sergio.
Impossible. Impossible to lose this accent, my Italian accent, and I don't think I want to.
Sergio, how many years have you been in America?
Altogether now is 4 years, exactly.
Do you have certain dislikes about some of our habits here in America?
The only dislike is bad-mannered people and children, you know, that I can't stand it. Especially in New York, I don't know why, but it looks like we don't have time to say please and thank you, you know. I've opened doors to so many ladies, and I just walked past without thanking or anything. And children nowadays, you know, they act like they own the world. I don't know, maybe a spank or two would help a lot, and I believe in it. I think they are a bit spoiled, very spoiled.
Do you find the same thing held true in your native Italy? Were the children spoiled there?
Not as much as here, because, you know, the father and mother are respected very much. One of the biggest trouble, I think, and one of the reason why we have so many trouble with those children, they don't have, on top of it, they don't have enough attention and love. We don't have time to give, I say we, because luckily my wife is with the children, but I don't have time to you know, give my children love and attention the way they should have.
You said something to me earlier, which I find most interesting, the fact that you are basically a lonely man because you must travel an awful lot.
Well, all the performers are quite lonely, but I'm more lonely than other people because I don't have many friends. I haven't been in this business for too many years.
Sergio Franchi has a very glamorous life.
Yeah, they're bound to think so because, you know, they see me on stage in the limelight and they think that everything is... It follows that kind of glamour, but it is not. It is not. We have to work. We have to do promotions. We have to meet newspaper people. And when the whole thing is finished, we come back to an empty room because my wife comes and the children come too once in a while. But they go to school and my wife has to stay home most of the time to look after them.
Sergio, one more thing. You said to me some time ago that your father wanted you to become an engineer. Do you ever regret not having done this?
No, not a bit. I hate it, actually. I didn't like it at all, and I'm so glad I became a singer.
So are we, Sergio Franchi. Thank you very kindly for being with us.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Joe Heider with Sergio Franchi for NBC Monitor.
Big song from France, Love is Blue by Paul Mauriat and the orchestra. At 17 minutes past the hour, you're 1 minute away from the comedy of Bill Dana and Joey Foreman on the Monitor Beacon. Monitor on stage. Star performances recorded live in leading theaters and nightclubs all across the country. Here's the Bill Dana Comedy Theater presenting Joey Foreman as the Meshuggenishi Yogi.
Mr. Meshuggenishi, I'm a chicken farmer, but I've decided to go into politics and run for Congress in my district.
Well, that's very nice. What is your problem?
Well, sir, it's my son. He's got mixed up with some of them hippies and started to smoke that marijuana stuff.
Oh, how terrible.
Well, I finally talked some sense into the kid and made him give it up.
Yes, well, that's very nice. What is your problem?
Well, sir, I took that marijuana stuff away from him and threw it into the trash barrel out in back of the house.
Yes. And what is your problem?
Well, you see, sir, all my chickens got into the trash barrel and ate the marijuana. Now I got hundreds of chickens weaving around in the backyard crazy, and all of them are just giggling and kissing each other.
Well, that's very nice, but what is your problem?
Well, my problem is this. How can I go out and talk my constituents into electing me for Congress with a coop full of chickens all marijuana'd up?
Well, that's very simple. Just tell your voters that if you're elected, you'll give them pot in every chicken.
Mr. Meshuggenishi.
Yes.
I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like to ask you a question, but I don't want you to be angry at me if I ask you a question.
Feel free to express everything that is in your mind.
But my name's the same Menace, and I want to ask you a question, but I don't want you to get sore at me.
No, I will not get sore. It is not in my nature to get angry.
You sure you won't get sore at me?
I'm positive I will not get sore.
Could I ask you the question?
Yes.
How come you talk so funny?
I got a question I'd like to ask you at this particular time, if I could.
Yes, go right ahead.
Well, I've been having a little bit of trouble with the cigarette smoking problem, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I wonder, can meditation help me out?
Can meditation help you stop smoking? Is that what you would like to know?
That's the only trouble I got. I got to stop.
So have you found that smoking has affected you in any way?
No, not that I can... not that I can think of, but I've been told to stop.
Well, I'm sure that if you meditate properly, you will find that it will help you to stop.
You really think it will help me?
Yes, I'm sure it will, madam.
Joey Foreman as the Meshuggenishi Yogi, solving the problems of many, including Bill Dana, for Monitor on Stage. And if you don't have to be a guru to know good advice when you hear it, my friend. For instance,
made Easter reservations?
Easter reservations?
Call your FTD florist and make Easter flower reservations now.
Vicky Carr, and she'll be there.
He will walk into the room and look at me. And I'll melt away. He will smile his little smile, and he will see how I melt away. His lips to mine, let him be mine. I will softly pray and go. Thank you.
such a first in his life. So much, so very much, I can't let him go. So I take the love he gives, what love he gives, but I'll always know. Deep in his heart, I love you.
Now, Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola and some seasonal talk about hockey.
Tomorrow marks the end of the first regular season of the 12-club National Hockey League. The league doubled its size this season, and that figured to present a lot of problems. And the way it worked out, there was only one. The league deserves to be congratulated on the success of their big change, and also for the way that they handled that one single problem. The problem was the Oakland Seals. The six original clubs in the league all had successful years, financially. Five of the six new clubs either had good years, or at least years that made the future look pretty bright. The exception was Oakland. Reports are that the Seals owe the league about $700,000. Attendance averaged only about 5,000 per game. In today's sports picture, figures like that mean talk about switching the franchise. There was that kind of talk about Oakland. A Canadian brewery announced they were all set to buy the club and move it to Vancouver. The vice president of the Seals, J.C. Rathbone, was quoted as saying, "The operation of the Seals in the Bay Area was just not working out, and there was no promise that the situation would change in the future." Recently, the league's board of governors met. Afterward, they announced that there had been no application made to move the franchise or to change the ownership. But the subject was discussed, and the answer was pretty obvious. The Seals aren't moving. I have no way of knowing whether hockey will survive in the Bay Area. I do know that the game deserves more than a one-year shot. The hockey people decided not to hurt the Western League by taking Vancouver and not let one bad year make a decision for them. And for both these things, they deserve congratulations. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
And you'll hear Joe Monday through Friday on NBC Radio and every weekend on Monitor. If you...
stay right here on the NBC.
new one written and played by Herb Alpert. It's called Slick, and I'll go along with that. In Lexington, Kentucky, you go along with NBC on station WLAP. Wherever you are, stay with us. We'll be back. This is Ted Steele for Monitor.
Don't go away, there's more to come. More to interest everyone. Just stay tuned, we'll be back soon.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
Here's Pat Williams on Monitor with a number that's unpronounceable but musical, so I'll pronounce it. It's Laya Ladaya. Simon and Garfunkel on Monitor with Scarborough Fair.
Thank you. It's Martin, it's 68. Your weekend companion keeps you up to date with the news and music and quality on NBC.
An unusual book of prayers will be the subject for discussion later on this half hour. It's called Treat Me Cool, Lord. And we'll hear from the author, Chaplain Carl F. Burke. I'm your monitor host, Ted Steele. And here's Don Ho with White Silver Sands.
By the deep blue pearly water, watch upon white silver sands. They're on the brink of love, I kissed her and obeyed her husband. Where the deep blue pearly water wash upon white silver sand. We watch the sun set in the evening in a far and distant land. Beneath God's blue heaven, there's a place I must go. See the sun set in the evening. The only one I know. Where the deep blue pearly water wash upon white silver sand. There on the brink of love, I kissed her. And obeyed my husband's
man.
So here beneath God's blue heaven, there's a place I must go. See the sun set in the evening with the old woman. Where the deep and pearly water wash upon white silver sand. There on the brink of love I kissed her.
Made Easter reservations?
Easter reservations?
Call your FTD florist and make Easter flower reservations now.
Here's Monitor's weekly report on this younger generation with Linda Sutter.
At the wedding of Linda Bird Johnson and Chuck Robb, one of the prettiest and most delightful participants was the groom's sister, Marguerite Robb, whom everybody calls Trenny. Trenny Robb was one of Linda Bird's seven bridesmaids. She'd been working in fashion in Milwaukee before the wedding, doing some part-time modeling and working as a window dresser, and was such a success at the wedding that now, at 20 years old, she started a career as a full-fledged fashion model. Trenny, you'll be appearing in the April issue of the Ladies' Home Journal. Is this your first major modeling job?
Yes, it was.
How did you go about getting it?
Well, I guess because my brother married Linda Bird Johnson.
Did you get a lot of job offers after the wedding?
Yes, I got a varied assortment.
For instance, what?
Well, just the regular modeling things, and a lot of television things. And then I was offered to do a movie in Rome with Omar Sharif.
Why didn't you do that?
I'm hoping I can.
Do you get crank sort of letters and calls and stuff?
We have an unlisted phone, so I don't get calls. That's nice.
You unlisted it since your brother married Linda?
No, before. My parents did it about a month before they ever, because they knew it was coming up. So they planned ahead. But I do get lots of funny mail and things.
Well, now, what do you think is the biggest change that's happened to you since Linda Bird and Chuck got married?
I'm making more money.
But I mean, say in Milwaukee, do people treat you?
Oh,
like
I hide there. Yeah, it was really. I don't know what to say. You know, I feel like I'm just one of them. And they come to me and they'll ask me for my autograph, and they'll say, "Oh, Trini, how are you doing?" You know, and I don't know what to say to them. And so I go, "Dude," walk away. You know.
Does everybody expect you to really be sort of in with the president and Mrs. Johnson, and are they sort of saying, "Will you talk to the president about this for me or that for me?"
No, people don't. It's funny. They don't. They do with my parents. You know, but it's mostly joking around. They know that we're not going to go to the president with everybody's problems.
Have you seen President and Mrs. Johnson since the wedding?
No, I haven't. I'm going to see them tomorrow.
Why?
I'm Cherry Blossom Princess for the state of Wisconsin.
Now, how does that? I've always been interested in that. How does one get chosen Cherry Blossom Princess? Is it because you know somebody or?
I'm not real sure. I think it's usually a congressman's daughter or congressman or senator's daughter or someone in the government or a niece or something. And my new connection. That's how I guess I was. You're picked. You're nominated by the state.
Oh, I see.
I had no idea, you know.
When did you first meet Linda Bird Johnson?
In July or August last year.
You knew that she was going to be marrying your brother, though.
No.
What happened? He just brought her home for the weekend?
No, I went down. My father said, "You must go see Charlie Parade in the Marine Barracks," because he was planning on going to Vietnam. And so I went down there, and he picked me up at the airport, and he said, "I'm going to be a little busy this afternoon. I'll drop you off at the White House." So I just figured this was part of his job. And he said, "You'll be with Linda all afternoon," so that she would show you around the White House and everything. Well, I knew that he, as his part of his job, he escorted her different places off and on and things like that. And at that time, when I was there, he already told my parents that he was going to marry, but I had no idea.
Well,
I thought they were just good friends.
Were you a little nervous when you met her?
No, it was really funny. I wasn't nervous at all. I don't know why. I can't figure that out either. I think I should have been. She showed me around the White House, and we talked, and I looked at her book collection. We just goofed around for the afternoon. And it was nice to get to know her that way. I just had a real nice time.
Trini Robb, a fashion model who happens also to be the sister-in-law of Linda Bird Johnson Robb. This is Linda Sutter reporting for This Younger Generation on Monitor.
It's 17 minutes before the hour, and you're on the Monitor Beacon. Let's go to the International Automobile Show at the Coliseum.
Go look at cars?
Over 500 cars from the whole world and every American make.
What a drag.
No, not drag. Dragsters and classics, antiques, electrics, experimentals, motorcycles.
Let's see a movie.
Great. They've got movies, fashion, the works, even a bathtub car.
Bathtub car? Come on.
Yeah, come on to the International Automobile Show at the New York Coliseum. Right now through April 7th. Tomorrow afternoon on Monitor, you'll hear film actress Elka Sommer discuss American advertising. And English actor, writer Peter Ustinov will demonstrate his Western cowboy accent, which he has just finished using in a new motion picture. There'll also be a report on a talkathon at the University of Tampa, a session that lasted for 168 hours. Hey, that's longer than Monitor. You'll also hear Bob Hope in top form tomorrow afternoon. And listen, I'm going to let you in on this little secret. It's a big day for Henry Morgan. Yeah, March 31st, his birthday. So keep those cards and letters coming in, friends. And tomorrow,
just keep tooting, Monitor.
"100 Years," sung by Nancy Sinatra, in less than 3 minutes.
I'm not gonna say everything is okay, 'cause okay is not the way that I feel. I'm not gonna be any fool's Christmas tree. Let 'em hang it from me that I'm real. I'm not gonna take second best. I've got no use for the rest. World, you better hear what I say. thee, true love could be free. I'm not giving in to a smile or a grin on a face I might never see again. I'm not gonna fly in some big phony sky on a lie that I know just can't win. No, I've got no use for the rest. The world, you better hear what I say. 'Cause for me, true love could be
Treat Me Cool, Lord, is the title of a new book. It's a collection of prayers prepared by what's described as kids from city streets, spoken in their own language. Carl F. Burke, chaplain of Erie County Jail in Buffalo, New York, has collected the material in the book from young people in jails, detention homes, and children's camps. Monitor reporter Charlie Holmes interviewed the chaplain.
Chaplain Burke, what reaction do you get from these youths when you tell them they should pray?
Oh, sometimes it's dead silence. Sometimes it's the funniest and most quizzical look you ever saw. Other times it's a question. They say, "What's the matter with you, man? Are you sick or something?" But usually they just laugh. But after they discover they can talk with me and level with me, and after I let them shock me a bit, then they really begin to ask some questions. For instance, there was a boy who got me into the worst theological trap I've ever been in. He asked me one day if I believed the Bible. I told him yes. Then he looked at me and he said, "Chaplain, does God want me to believe the Bible?" And I told him yes. Then he said, "Does God like a phony?" And I told him, "No, God doesn't like a phony." Then he said, "If I believe that Bible, I'm a phony, and you just said God don't like a phony." And I asked him, "What do you mean by that?" And he said, "Does it say in there to honor your father and mother?" And then I knew that I'd been trapped and had, and I had to go along with him and just said, "Yes, it does." He said, "My father's a junkie and my mother's a wino, and you want me to honor them?" He said, "Now what do you got to say?" So I gave him a truthful answer. I said, "I don't have anything to say. I have never experienced that. I can't even imagine what it's like."
And were you ever able to get to him?
Yes, I was. You see, for the first time in his life, somebody had given him a real truthful answer. And that kind of opened up some doors to us. Now, I discovered that his father had been sentenced to a long term in a state's prison, and his mother committed to a mental hospital. Then working closely with his social worker, we found a very wonderful foster home where now he's really learning what a mother and father are like and what those commandments mean.
What reaction do you get when you talk about God? Do they look at you and say, "Who's he?"
The usual reaction to me is, "Here comes another creep," or, "Who's that phony?" I usually try to put them into a position to bring up the subject of religion or God in particular. Then when they bring it up, you see, then they aren't in a position to reject me or reject God.
Do you have a special way to break through this cynical exterior?
No, not a special way, because every kid is special, and I try to do it on the basis of each individual youngster. Sometimes it's by kidding them along a little bit. For instance, if they're playing cards in the jail, I may tell them, "Don't play for money. This place is full of crooks."
How do they react to that?
Well, when they discover that I can laugh with them and even enjoy humor, even if it's pointed at me and I become the butt of their jokes, they don't know quite what to do with that. And when they see I'm not too defensive about these things, they'll go along with it.
Do you have a favorite prayer in this book?
Well, here's one which I think reveals that tenderness that we were talking about. This was a boy about 16 years old who was in jail, and a very intelligent young man, by the way. And this is his prayer, which came out as a poem. At night when they're locked in their cells, it's pretty lonely, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he wrote. He called it, "Then the cell door bangs shut. Now, Lord, I'm all alone, just the two of us here. I always wanted time to think. In this lonely and scary place, help me find myself and you. Leave my thoughts here by myself and you, in my mind, in my heart, in my life. When the lights are out and it's quiet, may I hear your voice speaking to me, showing me the right way."
That's a beautiful poem, really.
We make a mistake in assuming that all of the youngsters who get into trouble are stupid. Many of them are very brilliant. Many of them have many talents in the arts and in the area of poetry and writing.
What's going wrong with our society that this happens?
Well, it's just a personal observation that most of the youngsters that I come in contact with, it's directly traceable to family life, whether it's rejection of the youngsters or the parents being so busy that they don't have time with them. And then another pet peeve of mine is the schools in so many of our large cities are so large that we really don't have time to spend with an individual. And some of these kids are just lost in a great big crowd. You know, it's kind of rough when you see a 10-year-old kid and you recognize that already it's too late.
Thank you, Carl F. Burke, chaplain of the Erie County Jail, Buffalo, New York, and author of Treat Me Cool, Lord.
Thank you.
This is Charlie Holmes for Monitor.
The Anita Kerr Singers with a new song, One Day.
If only you knew how long I've waited. I wonder now if you ever be mine. I think about you
and I think about
the girls I've dated. There'll be nothing to keep us apart.
Ron and Martin. Hey, Dick.
Huh?
Why don't you come over to the house tonight and watch the basketball game on television?
Yeah, I'd love to, but I can't. I've got to go to the basketball game.
What?
When a young man's fancy turns, it's for love his poor heart yearns. 'Cause it's spring and girls all sing.
Yes, NBC, nothing but comedy, plus news, sports, and the best in music. Sheik was the one on the horse.
Yeah.
NBC News on the Hour is next, and then there'll be more of Monitor. I'm Ted Steele.
We still have more to bring you. Just wait and see. More news, more songs to sing you, more comedy.